Thank you, Brad, and musicians. Boy, I've missed that, haven't you? I've missed that, yeah. If you have your Bibles, take your copy, please, and turn with me to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 7. If you've been with us the last few weeks online, your Bible might just flop right open to that. When we last met here on this campus, March the 8th, we were in the middle of a series called looking at the seven sayings of Jesus from the cross that led us up through Easter. And then for the past several weeks, we've been in the Sermon on the Mount, which for me personally, it's been very rich, and I hope it has been for you as well. I see we've got several children in here. Children, I want to welcome you. Glad that you're here. Love it. Love that you're here. There are some packets out there that Miss Kelly had put together for you if you want those. If not, I encourage you to, if your parents will let you, you have the freedom from your pastor anyway, to draw some of the images you see in my sermon. There's snakes in today's text. There's bread. There's fish. There's gates in today's text. There's knocking till your knuckles hurt. All kind of stuff. Rocks that maybe you eat. Weird. But you're welcome to draw it if you'd like. Just make sure you show me afterwards from a social distancing, of course. Matthew 7, Jesus is rounding third now, and he's headed towards home, towards the end of the Sermon on the Mount. And I'm going to pick it up in verse 7 and read down through verse 14. Would you please, whether you're here in the room or at home watching, would you stand in honor of God's word, and let's read these verses together. Matthew chapter 7, beginning with verse 7, Jesus says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Who among you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want others to do for you, do also the same for them. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the road broad that leads to destruction. There are many who go through it. How narrow is the gate and difficult the road that leads to life, and few find it." Jesus, again, I give you praise for the opportunity to proclaim your word. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight. More than anything, I pray that the truth of your word and your Holy Spirit would collide and be like an arrow into our hearts that change us. Please. As we continue this study of what a kingdom life looks like and kingdom relationships, may the church at West Franklin be a representative of the kingdom here in Franklin. I pray you do it by the power of your Spirit and our surrendering to it. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Don't you wish God would get his act together? Don't you wish God would just figure all this stuff out? I don't know if you're aware, but every year, the 8 campus pastors from all the Brentwood campuses meet to plan out the sermon plan for the next year. May 2019, we prayerfully put together a plan for 2020. Little did we know at that time that when we began to gather, who knew we would stop, we would be gathering amidst, or hopefully on the other side, of an unprecedented pandemic that has become political, that has become ugly, where people judge you if you wear a mask, if you don't wear a mask. And little did we know that June the 7th, 2020, would be a week and a half or so after we've seen way too much junk on TV. racist riots, protests. I'm not saying all of that is junk. I'm just saying the vitriol in it. It's hard. We had no idea that the Sunday we gathered, we would be looking in Matthew 7, verse 12, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Don't you wish God would get his act together and figure this thing out? Why do I tell you that? I tell you that because God's got a plan. God's in charge. He knew this because he's God. And he's got a word for the church. He's obviously got a word for the campuses of Brentwood. And I believe he's got a specific and particular word for the church at West Franklin. Church, God reigns. He rules. He's in charge. And perhaps we need to do what Psalm 46:10 tells us to do. Be still and turn off the news. And know that he is God. Doesn't say turn off the news. I added that. And know that he is God. You know what it says right after that? I will be exalted among the nations. All glory is his. He's not in heaven with his hands tied behind his back and with duct tape over his mouth. He's ruling just as he wants. And church, now as good a time as any to be the church. This whole series, we've been talking about relationships, really. And I've said over and over, if you've been watching or I mean, tuning in, that I believe Jesus wants us to do unto others as we are having God do unto us. It's almost like the underlying theme here is as you are relating to God and God is relating to you out of that kingdom relationship where you are surrendering to the King Jesus, to the loving, sovereign King Jesus, out of an overflow of that relationship is how you are treating others. How God is treating you, you are in turn to treat others. Said that over and over again. He emphasizes relationships and what we do with those we like and what we do with those that we don't like. And there's a difference in kingdom mentality. And I think he knows what he's talking about, right? I mean, obviously Jesus knows what he's talking about because I don't know about you, but it seems like my life goes a lot better and I have a lot more satisfaction and fulfillment when my relationships are going well. Isn't it funny how that works? When your close relationships are operating in a healthy manner, or when you were perhaps brought up the way with a good solid foundation, things just work the way they're supposed to work. But the opposite is also true. When there's tension in a relationship, when there's brokenness in a relationship, when things are messed up, there's a lot of despair, right? I mean, it's just how it works. Relationships bring life or they bring despair. It's funny because nobody ever comes to me or nobody ever goes to see a counselor or a psychologist or a therapist because their lunch tasted bad. Nobody ever goes to see a counselor or a therapist or a pastor because they can't get grass seed to grow. Why? Why do they come to the pastor or the counselor or a therapist? Because there's something going on in relationship. There's something going on in this tear. And so Jesus is helping us here understand how to approach relationships. And the way kingdom people work in their relationships is radically different than the rest of the world. And I believe that these verses that we just read together all have to do with relationships. I've never seen it before. Honestly, I've taught on the Sermon on the Mount. I've preached on the Sermon on the Mount. I've read the Sermon on the Mount. But when he gets to ask, seek, and knock, I think, okay, he's talking about prayer here, which he is. And then he's talking about the golden rule. I can't read the golden rule without hearing my mama say it. Do unto others. And then he shifts to the gate part about the kingdom. And few find it, many find the other, and blah, 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 blah. But I believe this whole thing's talking about relationships. I believe Jesus is helping us see how kingdom relationships operate with one another. And I want to show you what I mean by that. Let me give you a couple clues. Actually, I'm going to give you three. You ready? Clue number one that I believe this is all about how we deal with one another, whether it's personal relationships, whether it's racism, whether it's opinions about COVID-19, how kingdom people deal with relationships. Clue number one, the context of Matthew chapter 7. The context of Matthew chapter 7. Did you know when Jesus preached the Sermon on the Mount the first time, he didn't pause and say, okay, when you write the English translations, I want there to be a heading between verse 6 and verse 7. Or I want there to be a heading between verses 12 and 13. No, Jesus just rolled with it. Jesus just preached all the way through. And so it's kind of important that we understand the context. Cults are started by taking a verse out of context and just making it say whatever you want it to say. We might need to understand why Jesus said what he said and why it's included in that. Matthew chapter 7 is kind of important. How did he start? Because I know you were hanging on every word last week online. Okay. He talked about judgment. Remember? Do not judge so you won't be judged. How you treat one another. And he says, and if you think that you're going to try to pick on somebody's splinter in their eye, don't forget you've got a big beam hanging out of your eye that you need to deal with first. And yes, we're supposed to help each other. We're supposed to speak truth in love with one another. We're supposed to speak gospel truth to one another. But we're to do so in a manner where we've understood that we've got to deal with our beam and we approach them as if we've got our own scars. We've got our own issues. And then Jesus gives that weird verse in verse 6. Remember, don't give pearls to swine. They're just going to spit it out. There's some people that aren't ready to hear the truth. There's some people that aren't ready to be loved on in the gospel. And you need to use discernment in how you treat people and help go at a pace where they can understand. Wouldn't it interesting that after he talks about judging, take care of your own beam, help others with their splinter, and use discernment in relationships, in verse 7 he says, ask, seek, knock. It's almost like, I'm talking about relationships. Whoa, that's interesting. And for verse 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11, he talks about prayer, which we'll come back to in a moment. But there's this word in verse 12 that gets me. Do you see it? I've never made this connection before. And there it is. One of my favorite words in the Bible. Therefore. Jesus preaches on prayer for about 4 or 5 verses, and then he goes, therefore. Now, what's happening? Get this. If he says therefore, that means what he's about to say relates to what he just said. Right? Whether you passed English or not. Do you see that? What he's about to say is related to what he just said. Therefore, and then he gives the golden rule. What you want others to do for you, you do unto them. That's the law and the prophets. Whoa, that has to do with relationships. This whole thing is having to do with how we relate to one another. And if I want somebody to do something for me, that's the approach I need to take to somebody else. It's interesting, isn't it? We always want justice for the other guy, but mercy for ourselves. Jesus says, if you want mercy for yourself, pal, you need to give mercy to somebody else. You do unto them as you want to do unto you. He probably wouldn't use the word pal. He's more loving than I. So the context of Matthew 7 tells me that he's talking about relationships. Now, let me give you another clue. The whole prayer part, verses 7 through 11, he prays. Or he teaches on prayer. Ask, seek, knock. If you ask, you're going to get it. If you seek, you're going to find it. If you knock violently, aggressively, persistently, consistently, the door's going to be open to you. Then he goes on to talk about if you're a dad, you know how to give good gifts to your children. And dads are evil. And if dads who are evil know how to give good gifts to their kids, you better know the Heavenly Father is going to give good things to those who ask him. Let me ask you. Okay, so he talks about prayer here in those four verses. Has Jesus talked on prayer already in the sermon? This is the audience participation portion of our program. Let me give you a hint. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thank you, Tim. Jesus has already taught about prayer. It's at the apex of the sermon in the beginning of Matthew chapter 6. So I don't think he's like, oh, forgot this part. This is prayer part 2. I don't think that's what he's saying. I think what Jesus is doing here is saying, you're going to have a hard time when it comes to discerning what to say and what to do in some relationships, and you better include me in your relationships. Ask me, seek me, knock, and let me open the door to relieve some tension in your life towards that person. Yes, he's teaching on prayer, but this is about prayer for a particular thing. And we've seen it this week, hadn't we? Church, I've been here 5.5 years, and I don't know if I've ever seen a prayer vigil in Franklin before. Did you know there was one this week? You know why? Because relationships are messed up. And what do? When we get desperate, ask, seek, knock. You know, it's amazing when Katie and I go through a hard time in our marriage and there's seasons where it's just rough. You know what happens to my prayer life? Zoom. Just skyrockets. There are people that come in my office that have relationship issues and their prayer life just goes way up because they're just begging God to do something. We know what Jesus is talking about here. Jesus is just saying, would you invite me to everything and all of your relationships? And every, you know, if you had included me 6 months ago, you wouldn't be in this mess right now. You see? We know. He's just saying, just include me in the relationship all the time. This is what kingdom people do. They surrender themselves to Jesus and then they take Jesus to their relationship. But there's another clue. The whole gay talk. I'd always separated that. Jay Strother, who's the campus and teaching pastor at the Station Hill campus, he's the one that put this sermon series together. Wished I could take credit for it. It's well done. I can't. He put it together. He divided the verses up. And when he put verses 13 and 14 here, I was like, Jay, why'd you do that? But I'm so glad he did. Because if he hadn't, I would have separated them out. But right after Jesus says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, for this is the law and prophets, what does he say? He says, there's two gates. There's a narrow gate, there's a small gate, that few find it, that it's hard, but if you go through it, there's life. And there's this very broad gate, there's this wide gate that many find it, but it leads to destruction. It's easy. And I'm thinking, okay, I believe he's talking about not just relationships here. There's kingdom of heaven, there's gates in and out of heaven. I get that, but hear me. I do believe he's saying kingdom people do the hard thing. Kingdom people listen to Jesus when it comes to their relationships and they go ahead and step into the difficult thing. Those who want destruction, they do the easy thing. They don't pay attention to Jesus. They do what TV says you should do in your relationships or what social media says you should do in your relationships. And they go ahead and enter into it. And there's a lot of people doing that business and it leads to destruction. Let me ask you, is it much harder to maintain a healthy relationship than it is to enter into a destructive relationship? Jesus knows what he's talking about. He's saying kingdom people hear from Jesus, and when it comes to how they interact with other people, they go ahead and do the difficult thing. That brings life. But others, they don't care what Jesus says. They just go with their flesh. I think Jesus is talking about relationships here. And he said, would you just include me in how you treat others, those who are close to you and those who may not be close to you, whether you like them or whether you don't like them, whether they're your enemy or your friend, would you just invite me in? Don't you understand you need the supernatural help of God in your relationships? He said, just invite me in. So, what does he say do? It's the pivot that he makes in verse 7. He's saying, ask me. You don't like something you see on TV? You don't like a color of a person's skin? You don't like the person that you're staying with? You don't like your spouse? You don't like your kid? They don't like you? You don't like your coworker? You don't like your neighbor? There's friction. There's tension. What do I do? I want to say something. Ask me. Seek after me. Knock. The door will be open to you. Come to me. You say, well, does that mean that if I pray for God to fix it, that and as soon as I say amen, the other person's going to be changed? Boy, wouldn't that be awesome? God, would you change that person? I can't stand. Amen. Fine. It doesn't work that way. That's not what he's saying. Sometimes he changes the person. He's wanting to go after your heart. He wants you to ask him and he wants you to seek because he's doing something in your heart. Your job is to take the kingdom to the relationship, not theirs. By the way, you want some pressure taken off you? You can't fix somebody. You can't fix somebody else. Let's be real honest. Come in here real, real close. We can't even fix ourselves. Can I get an amen or an oh me up in here? I mean, my gosh, we can't even fix ourselves. Who do we think we are working at trying to fix somebody else? Jesus is saying, ask me, seek, knock, I'll open the door. God will show you what he's doing in your heart in order to bring a peaceful kingdom relationship to that person, regardless of what they do. Don't believe him? He gives an awesome illustration. He goes, which dad of you, by the way, he calls all dads evil, isn't it? It's kind of an insult. Glad we're not doing this on Father's Day. He says, which of you, a father, if your son asks you for bread, you're going to give him a rock to chew on? Dad, I'm hungry. Can I have some bread? No, chew on these pebbles. And then he goes, or which of you dads, if your son asks you for a fish, you're going to give him a snake? Nobody. Why? Because no dad wants to pay for a dental bill. And eating rocks will hurt your teeth. And no dad wants to answer to a wife when the wife says, how come Junior is eat up by a snake? I'm just handing him a snake to play with. Nobody wants to, nobody wants to have that responsibility. It's stupid. Jesus is saying, you who are evil, who know how to give good gifts to your children, if your son asks you for bread, if he needs bread, you're going to give him bread. If your son asks you for a fish, if he needs a fish, you're going to give him fish. Even though you're evil, you know how to do this. Dads know how to give good gifts to their children, even the sorry dads. Have you ever seen a dad in divorce court? He gets really sweet towards his kids. If you ever watched Despicable Me, even Gru took his adopted children that he didn't want to the theme park. And Jesus says, would you just think about that for a second? Those of you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children. Your heavenly Father, who knows no evil, who knows nothing but good and knows everything that's gracious and kind and merciful, of course he's going to give you good things. Ask him, seek him, knock on the door, and watch what he does. He's saying, would you invite me into your life regarding this relationship? I love it. Unfortunately, there's few people that do it. Few find it, Jesus says. It's a lot easier to follow your flesh, isn't it? It's a whole lot easier to follow what TV says. Any relationship, just about any relationship you see on TV will tell you to do the exact opposite of what kingdom mindset says. I want us to pray before we do. I mean, that's the only thing we can do. I mean, Jesus says you need help in your relationships. You need to pray. I don't know if this ever happens to you. I hope it does. I'm sure it does, really, if you seek the Lord. But there are times in my personal relationship with the Lord that everything kind of comes together sometimes. I mean, there's a lot of times that don't. I'm like, God, where are you? But there are times when it just seems to come together. And a couple weeks ago, I decided to read through 1 Timothy very, very slowly. 1 Timothy is called the pastoral letter. Paul wrote it to Timothy, who was pastor of the church in Ephesus. So I'm like, you know what? I kind of need to renew my spirit on what it means to be a pastor. And so I've just started going through 1 Timothy very, very slow. Then I get to chapter 2. And I'm studying through this. I'm reading through the Sermon on the Mount. And I get to chapter 2. And after Paul kind of sets up things for Timothy, his young protege in chapter 1, he gets to chapter 2 and he says, here's the first thing I want you to call the church to do. I want you to look what he says in verse 1. Look what he says. I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people. That's what I want you to call the church to do. And so I looked up all those words. I was like, man, that's a lot of words for prayer. Maybe they mean different things. And so I looked them up in my computer because I have one of those fancy computer programs that preachers have to look up different words, see what they mean. You know what they mean? Prayer. All of them. It's like Paul's tripping over himself to say, pray, 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 and pray. He says, I'm asking that you pray for all people. That, why pray? So that we may live peaceful and quiet lives. Okay. So that we, yeah, and all godliness and holiness. So that's weird. So it's been 3 months since I've done this. So peaceful and quiet lives and all godliness and holiness. Now get this now. Get this in your head. Paul's saying, I want you to call the church to pray so the church can live peaceful with one another, live in all godliness and holiness with one another, meaning represent the kingdom. Don't just preach the gospel. Show that the gospel works. You see that? Because that's going to be a big deal.
People don't just need to hear the gospel. They need to see that it actually works, and it's going to work through your relationships. And he goes on to say, this is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. So you ask Paul, how should we evangelize? Well, one of the main ways you evangelize is by you living out the gospel with one another. Jesus said, by this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Now, Paul's saying God wants all people to be saved. How are they to be saved? Well, they're to hear the gospel. We know he means that. But they are also to see the gospel at work as you are living peacefully and quietly with one another. How do we do that, Paul? It's hard. Pray. Pray, 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 and pray. Jesus said, use discernment in your relationships. Don't judge each other. Help one another. Speak the truth in love. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. How, Jesus? It's hard. This is hard. How? Pray. Ask. Seek. Knock. Include me in your relationships. So I want to invite us to pray. So what do we do with this? Pray. And so, whatever that looks like for the next few moments, I want you, where you are, to get into a posture of prayer. Don't worry, I'm not going to drag this along. Some of you have been waiting me to say this for a long time, so you can just go ahead and lean your head over and go to sleep. But for those of you that are still with me, maybe a posture of prayer. Maybe you want to come to the altar and kneel, just socially distance, of course. Maybe you want to kneel where you are. Maybe you want to sit in your pew with your palms open, saying, I'm dependent here. But the only thing I know for us to do is to ask and to seek and to knock. And there's three areas where I'm going to lead you in. I'm going to mention them, and then I'm going to give you 20, 30 seconds each time to pray. And the first one, we're going to pray for our nation. The second, we're going to pray for our church. And the third, we're going to pray for personal relationships you have. Okay? So find your posture, whatever that looks like. That's just right where you are. If that's coming up here, if that's holding your arms out, if that's kneeling where you are, find a posture of prayer. And the first thing I want to call you to pray for and ask and seek and knock is for you, it's for our nation. It's for our nation. We can't fix racism, but God can. But maybe the problem is not necessarily out there. Maybe the problem is in here, in our own hearts. And you need to ask and seek and knock and ask God to show you what's going on in your heart that needs to be adjusted as you watch this horrible stuff on television. And you need to ask and seek and knock, yes, for him to stop this mess, but also for God to use this as a time for you to understand what it means to be a kingdom person. Also, ask, seek, and knock. Beg God to stop this COVID-19, for more lives being killed by it, hurt by it, for the whole political division that it's causing, for the most ridiculous of things. Maybe there's areas in your heart that you've seen yourself being easily judging others, different party lines, different perspectives, and maybe you've had a perspective that's not kingdom-minded. Would you ask and seek and knock, begging God to show you what a kingdom heart that approaches this looks like? Now I want us to pray for our church. Whether you're in here or at home, please pray for the church at West Franklin. I don't know how much longer we'll be doing this sort of thing where several are in here, but many more are watching at home for various reasons. But you've been resilient these past 3 months. You've amazed me. We haven't gathered at the church, but you've been the church. And for the foreseeable future, we're going to need to continue to step up our game. It may not ever be the same again, where we've got to say, what does it look like to be the church post-COVID-19? Would you ask, seek, knock, plead with God to help keep us focused as a church on what matters? To not be divided by whether you're here or at home, not be divided on what you think about wearing masks or not, not being divided by any of this protesting racism junk, but that we be unified and we be focused on him. Ask him, say, what's going on in my heart? Seek it. Knock on the door. He'll open and show you and give you good things. Beg God to allow the church at West Franklin to be a representative of the kingdom of Christ here in Franklin. And what does that look like for you? Lean into it. The narrow road is hard. Now finally, personally, we live in Williamson County, most of us, which means most of us live in a pretty decent house, drive a pretty decent car, have or have had a pretty decent job with pretty decent stuff in the bank. Nothing wrong with that. And to be quite honest, most of us would say we've worked hard to get where we are. In other words, we are a very independent people. Let's just be honest, we are. It's why we're in Williamson County. You know what this text screams at us? Jesus wants to teach us dependence on Him. I wonder if any of you have got a relationship in your life where you've asked God, why is this here? I'm guessing to teach you and me dependence. Maybe you've been brought up in a home that's wasn't very healthy, and it affects everything to you to this day. And you say, God, why? Or maybe there's something going on with a family member, with a spouse, with a child, with a friend, with a coworker, with a neighbor, and you're just like, this is driving me insane. Why won't you do something? Perhaps He's teaching you to depend on Him. To where you ask Him, you seek, not to change them, but to change you. And so He can have full reign over your heart. It's hard, but that's where life is. Jesus, may Your kingdom come. May Your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.